the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, you gave to us your only begotten Son through the most blessed Virgin Mary, the pure and spotless Virgin worthy to be the Mother of God and the Mother of the Redeemed. Grant to us a pure and holy understanding of Mary's place in our redemption. Grant us a true love for her, and that love, may it transform each one of us so that we may love our beloved Lord as he wants to be loved through her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A few days ago, we celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Now, many people are confused about the Immaculate Conception because they think that it's about Jesus' conception in the Immaculate Mary. But in reality, the feast day is the fact that Mary was conceived in her mother Anne's, St. Anne's womb, without even the slightest contagion of sin. Now, that does not mean that Mary was not redeemed by her son, Jesus Christ. In a prevenient way, she was freed, saved, spared from any contamination of original sin. Now, you and I are born in sin. There's no question about that. But Mary could not be born in sin, because to be born in sin would mean that her flesh at one time was under the domination of hell, of the devil. And God could not take the flesh he used to redeem us from anyone who had ever been under the power of Satan. And so Mary is born free of all sin, of all original sin. And Mary, being the spotless bride, being the mother of God, was perfect. So perfect that God exhausted himself creating her. He had her in his mind from all eternity. He had made for himself a dwelling place that was so perfect that he could not create a more perfect place. St. Thomas Aquinas says that God exhausted the obediential potency of creaturehood. That means that creaturehood couldn't stand any more perfection than Mary. If you took every single good and beautiful thing in person that ever existed from the beginning of creation until the very end of time, and you put it all together in one person, it could never even begin to image the perfection, the beauty of the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. Now, why is this important? It is important because it points us to the humanity of Jesus. That's why Mary is so important. You get rid of Mary, and Jesus becomes this someone in heaven. Not the God who lives and dwells and moves among us. Not the Lord, Savior, physically in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. When we reverence this magnificent creature, the Mother of God, Mary, the Most Holy Virgin, we recognize the great mystery of our redemption in its entirety, not just piecemeal. You cannot take little pieces of faith and expect ever to understand the entire mystery. It's like a love letter. You take out a line, nobody will understand it. You take it in its entirety, and you begin to see the beauty of how fitting everything is. Mary was prefigured in Eve. Eve and Adam, sinless creatures. The devil not knowing if Adam and Eve were Mary and Jesus, went after them, as he went after every prophet, thinking that this could be the Messiah. So he sought to destroy them from the very, very beginning, just in case this might be the Messiah. Why did he go after Mary? Why did he go after Eve? Because he thought Eve was Mary. He didn't know. But all he knew is that Mary, the woman, would be a sinless human. The man would be a divine human. He didn't have a chance going after Adam, because if that was the Messiah, he didn't have a chance. And so he goes after Eve. And when he brings them to the point of sin, God promises to make it right. Golgotha, where Christ was crucified, was called the place of the skull because it was traditionally the place where Adam and Eve were buried. And there on top of that hill, On the day of the Passion of our Lord stood the new Eve, and there hanging from the tree of life, the new Adam. Mary is essential for us because without her, we cannot love Jesus the way he needs to be loved. God gives Mary to each one of us. He says, behold your mother, and to whomsoever calls him or herself a disciple, behold your son. Behold your son, behold your mother. This is the way God wants us to see Mary, as our mother, as my personal mother. If I can see her, the most perfect creature God ever created, as belonging to me, I will then let her instruct me, form me, so to speak, as she formed the body of Christ in her womb. And I will become the image of Jesus. This is why we have been given Mary, so that we can love him perfectly. God doesn't want to settle for just a human love, but a human love embedded, imbued with the divine. And our love for Mary raises our love to a level far beyond our abilities. That's why he says, woman, behold thy son, and to whomsoever is the disciple, behold your mother. So that you and I would have that woman of the ages to instruct us in love, to instruct us in peace, to instruct us in forgiveness, to form us in such a way that we are not imitations of Christ, but we become Jesus. The Blessed Virgin Mary enables each one of us to love him and to truly become him to the world. The more we fall in love with Mary, the more we fall in love with Jesus. There's no other way around it. And the Immaculate Conception, this magnificent feast, is the feast of divine love. For it was divine love that allowed her to be conceived without the contagion of sin for you and me. It was his love for us as individuals that brought about the Immaculate Conception, so that her flesh would bring forth God made man, so you and I would know him. We would have an object to love, finally. Not some ideal in the sky, but the real, honest to God, Christ Jesus made man. When he went to heaven, when he ascended into heaven, and when Mary was assumed into heaven, he promised never to leave us alone. And so we have amongst us the physical presence of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the living, breathing Jesus. We have the ability to enter into the Mass. We have the ability to love him as he deserves to be loved. We have the ability to love someone, not some ideal, not something other than us, but an actual person. And not only do we love him, not only has he been given to us from his mother and through his mother, but he comes to us as food so that you and I can be so intimately united with him that we will know exactly what Mary knew when she said yes to the angel, that God was conceived in her womb as God is conceived within our own heart and soul with every Eucharist we receive. This is the miracle of our faith. This is what enables us to go out into the world and to become Christ, to become the light of the world. If we can only wrap our minds around the magnificence of the gift, we will become the gift to the world. And that is what we are called by our faith, by our baptism, by our love, by God to be. God bless you.